Thank you, Jerry. Joe, we will see you guys tomorrow night. And the Blue Jays, for the moment, have a half-game lead in the American League East. They're in the bottom of the eighth inning in St. Petersburg. And the Boston Red Sox lead the Tampa Bay Rays by a score of 2-1. Brad Ziegler on in relief. And the plan, of course, is to get it to him and then to get it to Craig Kimbrell. And then that's the end of that. We'll see what the Tampa Bay Rays have to say about that. The Baltimore Orioles, 2.5 games behind the Blue Jays in the AL East as we speak, have a 7-1 lead on the Washington Nationals as they play in the bottom of the seventh. So it looks like they're going to be able to get that back to two games. Phone lines are open. It's time for Blue Jays talk. 416-870-0590. Star 590 on the cell. And long distance is 1-888-666-0590. Taking your calls all the way to the bottom of the hour all across the network. And we will keep things going on our flagship station, Sportsnet 590 The Fan and sportsnet.ca/590, right up until 11 p.m. Eastern time. We'll hear from John Gibbons. We'll hear from Ross Atkins, who spoke before the game as well. And we'll see what else we can get for you. 7-2, the Blue Jays beat the Angels. A terrific outing for R.A. Dickey. A big day for Russell Martin, 3-for-3. A big day for Darwin Barney, 2-for-4 with a couple of runs scored. Josh Donaldson, 1-for-3 with a couple of walks. Edwin Encarnacion, 1-for-2 with a couple of walks. And Troy Tulowitzki with a big RBI double in the fifth inning. Kevin Pillar comes back to the lineup, has a double, scores a run. So everything coming up Blue Jays tonight in their 7-2 win over the Angels as they open a six-game homestand. Let's get to the phones, and we begin with Joel in Toronto. Hello, Joel.
Hey, nice little win tonight. Good way to start off a homestand. Just quickly, so I think Gibbons has been given a lot of heat here recently on some bullpen decisions. Let's ignore that and give him some credit for tonight for inserting Russell Martin into the DH spot, keeping that hot bat in the lineup. And, you know, it would have been really easy for him at this point in the season to give him a nice 2 days off with an off day. And Tolley and Dickey obviously working together, would have been easy for him to make that decision, but he keeps him in the lineup, and look what happened. 3-for-3, very nice to see. Hope everyone's enjoying this. We got some bonus coverage of the Boston game on Sportsnet, and let's see those Rays come back, and we'll regain that lead. Nice little game tonight, great start.
All right, thanks for the call. And, yeah, we haven't seen Russell Martin DH. I'm not sure we've seen it happen at all. In an R.A. Dickey start, but the off day yesterday and the off day Thursday allowed, you know, Russ hadn't played a couple of times in 5 days already, so he can keep that hot bat in the lineup. It's going to be important to get Russ Martin some time off down the stretch, because now with a six-man rotation, he's playing five out of every six instead of four out of every five, but the six-man rotation isn't happening for this turn through the order with Aaron Sanchez down in Dunedin. So it's an opportunity to keep that hot bat in, and he has been tremendous in the month of August, and he was great again tonight. 3-for-3 with a couple of RBIs and a run scored, absolutely. Thank you for the call. Let's go to Max in Scarborough. Max, you're up next on Blue Jays Talk.
Good evening, Mike. I have to say, had to agree with the last call. I mean, this was a good start for the Jays to win this game after, like, the day off, and the heartbreaking loss on Sunday kind of put that behind them. And, you know, Dickey, you just never know how well he's going to pitch, and he pitched a great game. I mean, you just never know how well he's going to do. And tonight, this was one of those nights that he really was on his game.
Yeah, tonight he was really, really good. I think there's this idea out there that R.A. Dickey, every given start, there's a 50-50 chance that he's going to be terrible. That's not the case. He had three really rough starts a while back, and he's rebounded nicely, pitched great tonight. The two-run homer in the second inning got a lot of people bringing out the hate, but he didn't give up a thing after that and took it into the seventh. That's a terrific night for R.A. Dickey.
Well, I'm sure that he'll continue to pitch the way he will, and hopefully if I think it's up to them if he'll be able to pitch into the playoffs.
Well, we'll see about that, Max. I appreciate the call. I don't know. If Aaron Sanchez is still a starter in October, and the Blue Jays seem to believe he will be, and if Marcus Stroman, Marco Estrada, and Jay Happ are all healthy then R.A. Dickey's not on the playoff roster because he's not going to be one of their top five starters. But there's still almost a quarter of a season left, 37 games. Guys can get hurt. Guys can fall back performance-wise. There may be a point in time where the Blue Jays decide that Aaron Sanchez has had enough as a starter. You never know, but he's got to be one of their top four starters to be on the playoff roster, and right now R.A. Dickey is the fifth starter. Thanks for the call. We're going to take a break. When we come back, more of your phone calls, and we will hear from the skipper. The Blue Jays beat the Angels 7-2 behind 6 2/3 terrific innings from R.A. Dickey and a beautifully spread out offense all the way up and down the batting order. There wasn't a single Blue Jays starter in this game who didn't at least score one run or drive in one run. That's the way to do it. 7-2 Blue Jays over the Angels. It's Blue Jays talk on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
R.A. has a 6-2 lead, two outs here in the seventh inning. He has given the ball to John Gibbons, and listen to the hand for Dickey as he leaves the scene. That is well deserved. They're standing down in the lower levels as Joe Biagini comes on here in the seventh inning.
Great outing for R.A. Dickey. 6 2/3 innings, gives up two runs on six hits. Walks only two, strikes out two. The only damage, the two-run homer by Nick Buss in the second inning. At the time, it gave the Angels a 2-1 lead, but the Jays came right back with a couple in the bottom of the third, taking advantage of a wild Tyler Skaggs, and they rolled to a 7-2 win. And R.A. Dickey now has given up a grand total of eight runs over his last four starts through the month of August, so he's starting to heat up when the Blue Jays need him in a pennant race. I'm Mike Wilner. This is Blue Jays Talk. The phone lines are open at 416-870-0590, *590 on the cell, and long distance, 1-888-666-0590. Back to your calls. Sean in Brampton, welcome to the program.
Hey, thanks for taking my call, Nick.
All right, go ahead.
Can't hit on the start by Dickey tonight, but question is about first base.
Would you normally want to hate on the start by Dickey?
No, not tonight. Maybe next week. We'll see how it goes, right?
No.
I'm joking, Mike.
I know, but it makes me sad when people say, I got nothing to complain about, or I can't hate on this. That makes me sad. My heart hurts.
All right. Question on first base. I'm wondering, it seems like the least athletic position on the field. So I'm kind of wondering, like, why they can't maybe put Bautista there. Maybe give him a chance to rest his knee and shake things up a little bit.
First base?
Yeah.
Did you see Edwin Encarnacion play tonight?
Yeah, but Bautista, I guess, you can have Edwin DH and put Bautista there maybe?
No, but I'm suggesting that, you know, you got to be an athlete to be able to do it. I mean, it's not a middle infield. It's not a middle position. You're right, it's a corner, but there's still a lot of work to do, and it's not really a place to put someone who's hurt, hoping that he doesn't get hurt more. I think that I doubt we'll see much of Jose Bautista at first. There were a couple of opportunities earlier in the season where John Gibbons could have put him there and chose to, you know, lose his DH rather than do that. So I have a feeling that Bautista is going to spend a lot of time at DH and some time in right field until his knee is all the way back.
Okay. All right. Thanks for taking my call.
All right. No problem. And I think that means we're going to see more Justin Upton. And Upton started to heat up, and right now he's definitely swinging a better bat than Justin Smoke, even with his 0-for-3 tonight. He had a sacrifice fly. You go with, you know, if one guy's in a brutal slump and one guy is hitting fine, like Upton is now, I think he's reached base like, I don't know, 9 of his last 25 plate appearances or something like that. I'd have to add it up to be 100% sure. He has 10 for his last 39 over his last 12 games after starting 3 for 28. So 10 for 39 is just a hair over 250. It's better than what Justin Smoke is giving you, and Upton's giving you defense, and he's giving you speed when he gets on base. So the choice is between Upton or Smoke when Bautista comes back. Only one of those guys will be an everyday player. And right now it looks like the lean is to give Bautista plenty of time at DH and Upton a lot of time in the outfield. 416-870-0590, star 590 on the cell, and long distance, 1-888-666-0590. We will continue to take your calls as we Blue Jays talk it up in the wake of a 7-2 win over the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim. The Jays currently a half game ahead of the Boston Red Sox for first in the AL East. They are going to the bottom of the ninth in St. Petersburg. The Red Sox lead the Rays 2-1. And it will be Brad Miller, Richie Schaefer, and Logan Morrison due up the 4-5-6 hitters for Tampa Bay against Boston's closer, Craig Kimbrell. We'll keep you posted. If the Rays come back and win, the Blue Jays will have a one-game lead. If not, it'll still be a tie atop the American League East. Before we get to your next call, let's hear from the skipper. What did John Gibbons have to say after the Blue Jays' 7-2 win over the Halos? Let's listen in.
John, another good game by Russell Martin. What have you thought of his performance over the last week or so?
Well, he's smoking hot right now. You know, I mean, he was due for that. He's such a good hitter. He's been hitting his whole career, you know. So, but, yeah, he's feeling really good right now, seeing the ball. Probably likes DH, and it's not quite as physically demanding as what he's used to, so that can never hurt, you know.
Was that more like the type of R.A. Dickey performance that you kind of come to expect, where he goes deep into games and gives your team a chance to win?
Well, that's what we like. I mean, but he was fantastic. You know, they got that two-run homer early in the game, and then it was – he kind of put it in cruise control, you know, so he was really, really good.
John, what did you think of Kevin in his first game back?
Looked fine. You know, I didn't see any signs of his thumb at all, you know. He did swing the bat on one pitch, and his left hand came off. That's the only thing that got my attention, but he had no complaints. He was taking good swings, strong. Yeah, it's good to see him out there.
Devin Travis out of the lineup with that knuckle issue. How'd you feel like Darwin Barney did tonight? 2-for-4 with a walk. And can you just talk about what a player like that, what's his value to this team, knowing that you can put him anywhere in the lineup and on the field?
Yeah, you know, Barney had a big night. You know, he won that leadoff spot and sparked us early. You know, Barney's had a good year. I mean, ever since he's come over, he's played really well for this team. And like you said, you can put him anywhere on the field. You know, he's just a professional player. So, you know, you get in that spot where you're looking for a leadoff guy. You don't know how anybody's going to respond, you know. But the big double, 0-2 double, leading off the game in the big walk. So, but he knows how to play. So that doesn't surprise me.
Gibby, I know Bautista's going to be back eventually or pretty soon. But how often or would you go back to Russell in the DH spot with Tolley behind the plate again, considering what he did tonight?
Russell in the DH spot?
Yeah.
Yeah, I've got no problem with that, you know, especially if you keep swinging it. You know, the primary reason he did it tonight, you know, was that lefty on the mound, and that's kind of, you know, he wears out lefties normally. So, but, yeah, I mean, you got to, you know, when a guy's hot, he's hot, you know. And, you know, Russell's always had that knack, you know, getting a big hit at the right time. You know, even if he's in a, you know, minor-type slump, something like that, you know, he does something good with the bat when you need it. I mean, I've seen that, you know, so many times, so.
John, another solid outing for Biagini, and of course the awareness to pick off Trout over there at second base. What can you say about his growth throughout this pennant race and what he's meant to that bullpen?
Well, you don't need to think anymore, you know, who he is or where he came from, you know, being a Rule 5 guy at a AA starter. You know, he's one of our go-to guys. He's had a tremendous year, and, you know, he's gotten over all that early big league jitters type thing, and now he knows he belongs, you know, and he's proven that, so. I mean, and on top of that, he's got a great arm. He's got the stuff to be very, very good. And, you know, I've been pretty amazed, really, how fast he kind of where he fit into the big leagues, and it was like no big deal to him. Now, it's a big deal. Don't get me wrong with that. But, you know, he's handled himself like a veteran.
John, your team had 7 walks tonight, only 2 strikeouts. Did you see a consistent approach up and down the order today?
Yeah, it's pretty obvious. You know, and we can do that. I mean, we work pitchers. We'll take our walks, things like that. You know, I mean, we're going to strike out some nights, too. I mean, that's part of it. So get over it, you know. It's going to happen.
Yeah, it's going to happen. It hasn't happened a lot. The Blue Jays only 2 strikeouts tonight. Only the second time this season they've struck out that little in a game. They drew 7 walks, 5 of them off a very wild Tyler Skaggs, who went 4 innings plus 1 batter. 3 of those walks were in the 3rd inning, 1 of them with the bases loaded to tie the game The Jays took the lead on the next hitter, Troy Tulowitzki, when he hit into a 1-6-4-3 double play. I'm Mike Wilner. This is Blue Jays Talk, and we're taking your calls. 416-870-0590, star 590 on the cell. Long distance, 1-888-666-0590. 7-2, the Blue Jays beat the Angels. The Red Sox are leading the Rays 2-1 in the bottom of the ninth. There is one out and nobody on. Tampa Bay Rays up for their last shot. The Orioles are going to win tonight. They're up 8-1 over the Washington Nationals in the bottom of the eighth inning. So Baltimore will remain third in the AL East, two games behind the Blue Jays and quite possibly the Boston Red Sox as well. Back to the phones. Lawrence is in Toronto. Hello, Lawrence.
Hello, Mike. I wanted to say that I even actually want to call and say that I'm sorry. You know, I want to apologize to you because I listen to you all the time. And when I listen to you, I, like all the other fans in the city or the majority, I have these emotional, like, ups and downs a lot. Something happens, like happened on Friday or what happened on Sunday, and I listen to you and I don't love your tone always, or I see what happens with, like, Rodgers and the way that the TMZ article was handled, or, like, at least the beginning, the quietude of it in the first day or the first hours of it, and I was like, what's the deal? But you, I appreciate how you've been at it, and you see how things turn out. And this is really not a hot team like the Boston Red Sox are right now, but it's a 2-out-of-3 team, a 2-out-of-3 team, a 2-out-of-3 team. You know, they're like, they're just winning, maybe not always pretty, but they make it happen. And you always say that. You always have this diplomatic sense. And I'm noticing that the whole city tends to be really, like, trigger-happy, me included. But I'm noticing that this team is winning in a way, I know you don't like storylines and such, but they're winning in a way where they're winning with whoever, whether it be Barney, whether it be Upton, like they're kind of just figuring it out when the stars aren't in it. And I just wanted to commend you on that.
Well, I appreciate that. But yeah, I mean, that just comes from watching a lot of baseball and understanding that you can't ride the roller coaster like that, because even a great baseball team is going to lose like 70 times in a season. And it's interesting that you say that they're not as hot as the Boston Red Sox. The Red Sox are 13-8 in August. The Jays are 12-8.
Yeah, but streaky is really like that's what I'm getting at. Like the streak of Boston right now, as a fan who's going to go up and down, I'm a little bit scared. I'm seeing what's happening, and I know that they have Price, and I saw that beautiful catch yesterday. And what the Jays are doing has been quite frankly, like, nerve-wracking and ugly in the last weekend in terms of, like, the ninth inning, in terms of, like, the moments that are the most that stick with you. But they're winning. And
yeah, they're winning. That's what matters. Right.
Yeah, they're getting the job done, and they've done that all year. And probably even that initial little bit of a skid at the beginning of the season wasn't so bad if you take out our expectations from last year.
Well, it was pretty bad. I mean, the expectations do matter, right? Because you base your expectations on the kind of team that you have. And so it was pretty bad when the Blue Jays started the season 19-23. The difference, I think, between the reaction and the reality is that 19-23 is a crappy month and a half. It doesn't mean it's a crappy team. Just like, you know, the Blue Jays lost two heartbreakers this weekend in Cleveland, while the Red Sox split a four-game series in Detroit. So, again, I don't know why you're suggesting the Boston is so much hotter than the Blue Jays. But, you know, yeah, they lost a couple of heartbreakers. It doesn't mean they're a bad team. It means good teams lose to good teams, and good teams lose to bad teams. And you know, all this stuff happens over 162 games. You can't look at – there's no chance you can look at one game, but you can't even look at 1 month and say this is the kind of team that you have.
It's true. I was disappointed, though, with Rodgers not – like, you guys not reporting, just from a perspective of how it would affect the team. That's kind of ugly and weird news that came up, and whether it's true or not, we don't really know, and it's kind of our business, possibly. But it was a little bit unsettling because TMZ is such a huge – I have such a huge reach. I wanted to mention that, too.
What would you have expected from me? I put out, when the story on TMZ came out, I found out about it. I put out a tweet that said, I'm not going to say anything about this until we hear from Edwin. I'm not sure what you wanted.
No, I feel like what you did was cool. I just thought that it was funny that 590 and Sportsnet didn't mention it until this morning. Like, we were, you know, we were tweeting it out all over the place, and it was like photos all over the place about the TMZ and links and everything all of last night. And, you know, you guys are usually the first to report news. And I felt like that, from your point of view, I agree. I saw your tweet and I was like, okay, that's cool. But it was kind of mum. Like, it was mum. And that was something that I noticed.
Well, I'm not sure that it's news, you know. It's lurid. It's definitely clickbait. It's all of that stuff. What does it actually have to do with the baseball team?
Well, maybe morale. And I know that that's not stats again, and I know it's storyline again. But, you know, MLB makes money on storylines a lot, and it's something that we're used to as fans. And I agree. Like, that's why I'm saying. Like, I think it was handled by you well, and I guess the slowdown effects until we heard from Edwin's man. I guess it was his lawyer this morning with, like, through Shy, but I guess it wasn't, I don't know, maybe you're right. Like, it wasn't even mentioned, and it was felt. So we had, a full night without the support of the people we look to normally in the first moment.
Yeah, I have a hard time with that. You know, there was no second source. It was all one article on TMZ that everybody kind of went crazy about. Shy was doing his job trying to track down the lawyer and the agent and get a comment. I don't like, see, I like to keep it between the lines. I like to keep it what matters as far as the baseball team is concerned and the baseball games are concerned. I don't want to get into an individual player's sex life or anything like that. I think it's just, you know, any of that stuff is really none of our business. So I mean, from my perspective, I don't know that there should have been this great reaction. There's a lawsuit filed. We'll follow the lawsuit, and we'll see what happens. Edwin doesn't want to talk about it, and no one can make him talk about it. And by the time this gets anywhere near a courtroom, this season will be over, and Edwin may very well not be a Blue Jay anymore.
That's very true.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, tonight was a nice, smooth win. It felt rare from a fan's perspective. Everything went really easy down at the Rogers Center. I like to call it the Dome.
Yeah, I have a feeling, and I appreciate the call. I have a feeling this was the kind of game that people thought we were going to see from the Blue Jays about 150 times this year. They were behind in the second inning, but immediately in the third came back and took the lead, really never broke a sweat the rest of the way. Very rare are the Major League games that wind up like this, but this was a good one. Thank you for the call, Lawrence. Excellent call. I appreciate it. The phone lines are open at 416-870-0590, *590 on the cell, and long distance 1-888-666-0590. The Red Sox and Orioles have both won, both their games finishing within the last 2 minutes. Boston beats Tampa Bay 2-1. Baltimore over Washington 8-1. So no change atop the American League East. The Blue Jays and Red Sox remain tied for first. They remain 2 games ahead of the Baltimore Orioles. The Seattle Mariners are home to the New York Yankees. It's 0-0 in the bottom of the first. The Mariners are Baltimore's closest pursuers for the second wild card spot. Right now, they're a game and a half back. Tigers are leading the Twins 8-3 in the top of the seventh, and it appears as though Detroit will remain 3 games back of the Orioles for that second wild card in the American League. We have time to sneak in one more call before we go. Ben is in San Francisco. Hey, Ben.
Hi, Mike. Enjoying the show tonight. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
All right. So what I wanted to talk about was actually Darwin Barney's contribution tonight. I thought he had another great game when he's put in that situation where, you know, he could be playing left field, playing second base, but he contributes with the bat and in the field. And what I wanted to ask you is, do you think it makes sense to, offer him a Justin Smoke-style extension, given that he was struggling with the bat recently and he's not eligible for arbitration until after next season, and we have him for a very reasonable price of, I think, about $1 million. But, you know, you could buy out a few of his free agent years and maybe give him a raise for next year, because you always need that player. If he's not an everyday player, he's a utility guy who every team needs. And I would argue that he's actually underpaid if he's only getting paid $1 million next year.
He is underpaid, and I think arbitration may change that. You said he's not arbitration eligible. He's not eligible for free agency. He's definitely arbitration eligible after the season, so he'll get a bump. I don't see that. I don't think you put major resources in a utility infielder when you've already got a utility infielder in Ryan Goins, who is under contract and a lot cheaper than Barney is. So I appreciate his contributions, and he's had a nice impact this season. He's definitely a valuable player, but I don't think he's someone you try to lock up or try to buy out free agent years from.
But then, just because we have Goins, whereas with Smoke, there isn't another kind of major league caliber backup first baseman, if you were to call
him. No, but Smoke's a weird situation, too, because I think that there are a lot of people who are very confused by that contract extension. I think he's a guy they like, who has the potential to be a 2025 homer guy. He hit 18 last year in like 300 plate appearances. He has slumped terribly since he signed the contract, but he's someone who is potentially a viable major league bat. And I don't know that Darwin Barney really is. It's an interesting juxtaposition between the two of them, though, absolutely. I got to let you go because we're out of time. But I do appreciate the call. I think if you would have called me 2 months ago and asked if they should extend Justin Smoke, I would have said that Justin Smoke is probably not a guy who you need to go out and extend either. So there you go. Blue Jays beat the Angels 7-2. We will continue our Blue Jays talk. We'll let the network go at the bottom of the hour. Post games brought to you by your Ontario Honda dealers. It is the Sportsnet Radio Network. That's going to do it for us as far as the network is concerned, but we will maintain our Blue Jays talk on our flagship station, Sportsnet 590 The Fan, and sportsnet.ca/590 all across the World Wide Web right up until 11 p.m. Eastern. So if you're on hold, stay on hold. And if you're not on hold, get on hold. Blue Jays beat the Angels 7-2. Every starter has at least one run scored or one RBI to support R.A. Dickey, who gave up two runs over six hits in 6 2/3 innings to pick up his 9th win. We're back tomorrow, 7 Eastern, Marco Estrada and Matt Shoemaker. This copyrighted broadcast is presented by authority of Rogers Blue Jays Baseball Partnership. It may not be reproduced or retransmitted in any form, and the accounts and descriptions of this game may not be disseminated without the express written consent of Rogers Blue Jays Baseball Partnership of the Sportsnet Radio Network. For Jerry Howarth, Joe Siddle, Tom Young, Ryan Clark, V. Ken Palladian, and Josh Goldberg, I'm Mike Wilner. Blue Jays talk continues. Troy Tulowitzki stands in and whacks a first pitch into left field. That's going to get down almost into the corner, cut off by Buss. Edwin comes around to score. Martin into third. Tulo with an RBI double. And the Blue Jays lead it 5-2. Troy Tulowitzki adding to that lead with that double in the fifth. Melvin Upton Jr. followed with a sac fly to make it 6-2. And the Blue Jays were well on their way. A seemingly easy win. Something we haven't seen too much of this season. They beat the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim by a score of 7-2. I'm Mike Wilner. This is Blue Jays Talk. Phone lines are open at 416-870-0590. Star 590 on the cell and long distance 1-888-666-0590. Let's go to Steve in Bowmanville. Hello, Steve.
Hi, Mike. How are you tonight?
Pretty good, thank you.
Thanks for taking my call.
Appreciate the call.
Great game tonight. I was really pleased to see that Gibby got Russell Martin into the lineup tonight with Dickey pitching. That was a really good move. I'm interested in your opinion on Joey Votto.
Well, if you've listened to me at all over the last year, you should know my opinion of Joey Votto.
He would look really, really good in that left-handed bat in the Blue Jays lineup. I've thought that myself for quite a few years now. What do you think the possibility is that Votto will clear waivers?
100%.
So, is there some movement here that the Blue Jays can make, given that we got Edwin and Jose coming up for free agency, that we might use some of that salary to make a move to get Votto?
Yeah, I think so, and I've been pushing it. I think the Blue Jays really should make a hard push to get Joey Votto from the Cincinnati Reds. I think that they can get the Reds to pay some of the money that's left on the deal, maybe get it paid down so that you're only paying Votto about $15 million a year. I think that that's a possibility that could happen. I honestly don't know why it hasn't happened, which makes me believe that there's something. Either the Reds aren't willing to kick in as much money as I thought they were going to, or Joey Votto doesn't want to waive his no-trade clause to come to Toronto, because yeah, it really does seem like such a wonder. I mean, he's a great fit for any. There's no team that couldn't use Joey Votto.
Do you think he's already cleared waivers?
I don't know. If he hasn't, it's going to happen in the next week.
Yeah, I think the only thing, I mean, this makes so much sense. The only logical explanation I could see is that somebody else has claimed him.
I wonder, because I think that the Reds can't just let him go. So that's the thing. If someone else did claim Joey Votto, and if you're claiming Votto, you're claiming 7 years after this one and about $185 million or so, a little less than that. So the Reds, I think, would love to just let it go, but because he's got the no-trade clause, they can't do that. But if somebody did claim him, that would block Cincinnati from being able to make any sort of trade with him. That's possible. It might have happened.
Yeah.
There's another possibility, in fact, that the Blue Jays are not interested in picking up Joey Votto, that Mark Shapiro and Ross Atkins don't see this the same way we do. That, too, is a possibility.
Yeah, that would be surprising. Okay, thank you, Mike.
Okay, thank you. I appreciate the call. Yeah, Joey Votto makes so much sense. So much sense. The acquisition cost, you would think, would not be that great to shed that kind of salary. He's taking up like more than 20% of the Cincinnati Reds' total payroll for a terrible team. I don't know why they wouldn't want to just be rid of the contract and pay some of it to get rid of it. But if someone did claim him on waivers, that means that he can't come to Toronto. Unless it was the Blue Jays that were the team that claimed him. In which case, you have 48 and a half hours to work out a deal. And I wonder if that would leak out. But it's possible that a team has claimed Votto, which takes him off the market. It's possible that the Blue Jays aren't interested. It's possible that Votto isn't interested in waiving his no-trade clause, though that would surprise me. We will continue to take your calls. But before we get to the next one, let's hear from the general manager. Ross Atkins was out on the field today, and we swarmed him to get some info about what's going on as far as the rest of the season is concerned, Jose Bautista and all that kind of stuff. So let's hear what Ross Atkins had to say. Here's the pregame scrum from earlier today.
You know, if you guys want to talk about baseball and how good of a player he is, I'd love to talk about that. That is a very personal issue that I'm not going to get involved with. He's been a great teammate, a great person to work with, and we fully support Edwin, and we'll continue to.
There's a week left till the playoff eligibility deadline. Is there anything that's being worked on? Any potential moves?
Yeah, you know, I mean, it's not quite as intense it is pre-deadline, but there's still ideas, there's still discussion. You know, there's not a day it goes by that we don't talk about how to make this team better. Having said that, we have a really good team. It's really hard to make this team better. Not, you know, we won't rest on that and just sit on our hands. Any way that we can do that, we'll do it. But at this point, addition means subtraction, and we don't want to subtract from this group.
Are there any players who are attractive to you who have cleared trade waivers?
Yeah, some of the players are more attractive than others, but you know, certainly couldn't get into specifics there.
Ross, do you have a firm plan for Jose Bautista over the next couple of days?
You know what? It's as firm as it can be for having a player in the GCL and of his experience level, we want him to drive it. So based on how he feels and how many at-bats he would like to get, so as of now, it will most likely be in a simulated game just because of our confidence in him and his ability to return into this pace at, you know, better than most, and then secondarily wanting to control as much of it as we can.
When would that start, the simulated
game? It already started. He's had a sim game today. He'll have another one tomorrow.
What can you tell us about Devin's condition and the...
Yeah, I think Devin will be fine. Yeah, Devin's, you know, strong and tough, so I think he'll be, you know, ready to go tomorrow. I think that's the most likely scenario.
Is it a cortisone shot he took in the
knuckle? Yeah, that's correct.
You mentioned about not wanting to have to get rid of or have anybody off this team. When you bring up back Jose, obviously you have to make another roster move. Does it make it easier knowing that we're this close to September 1st so that whoever you have to send down is probably going to come back up beginning of the month?
A little bit. You know, you still have to factor in the 10-day window, right? You want to try to maximize your 40-man roster to the extent you can. But to add Jose Bautista, you know, that's something we're willing to make an adjustment for.
How do you stand philosophically on September call-ups? Some teams like to do 3 or 4, some like 9 or 10.
Yeah. You know, it really comes down to playing time. If guys are going to contribute in some way and we can see a role of some sort, then they can be here. But if they're 3 and 4 deep and the at-bats look far away or the innings look too far away, we don't want people here just for the experience. We want them here to contribute.
I missed a couple of the questions, but is when Bautista comes back, is Melvin likely to go to the bench again, or is his playing time going to be kind of mixed in with...
No, I think... Yeah, okay. So, no, BJ will be the guy that we acquired who can play all three, and when he's not playing, someone who can come off the bench, pinch hit, pinch run, pinch D, so providing depth. But, I think Gibby's going to manage that well. He already has, and I think there might be times when all of those guys need rest as well.
So there's Ross Atkins touching on September call-ups, on the role of Melvin Upton Jr. once Jose Bautista comes back. Wouldn't answer the question if there were any players who were attractive to the Blue Jays who have cleared trade waivers. Said some are more attractive than others, which is always true. But we shall see. The Blue Jays have a week left before the playoff eligibility deadline. I know this is confusing for a lot of people, but a player must be in an organization by close of business August 31st, by midnight August 31st, in order to be eligible, or 11:59 p.m., because midnight, then it's already the next day, in order to be eligible for the playoffs. There used to be rules that you had to be on the Major League roster, you had to be on the 25-man before the beginning of September. Those are no longer the rules. Anyone in the organization, 40-man roster or not, is eligible for the playoffs as long as they were in the organization before the beginning of September. So we shall see if the Blue Jays make any moves ahead of that playoff eligibility deadline, which is next Wednesday, August the 31st. Blue Jays 7-2 winners over the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim. The Baltimore Orioles winning tonight behind Kevin Gausman, and Buck Showalter saying that their ace, Chris Tillman, is going to go on the disabled list with a shoulder issue. Hopefully he'll be out the minimum, but this is a real blow to a team that already has serious starting pitching issues. Still, Baltimore holds the second wild card in the American League by a game and a half right now over the Seattle Mariners. The Orioles are 2 games behind the Jays and Red Sox, who are tied for first in the AL East. Rob is in Guelph. You're up next on Blue Jays Talk. Hello, Rob.
Howdy.
Howdy.
Thanks for taking my call, Mike.
All right, go ahead.
So here's the point I want to bring up. Tulo was kind of like not himself. Everybody was wondering when he was going to come back, because in Colorado he was this big player. But then he came to Toronto, and it seemed like he kind of got overshadowed by, you know, Encarnacion and Bautista and the stars that exist in Toronto.
Well, he didn't hit well. I don't know that he got overshadowed. He was not good offensively for...
Yeah, but he also came in, like, the fans didn't really know who he was, and yep, they didn't really understand the kind of value he can bring to a team.
Sure.
But then he had his bobblehead day in Toronto.
When was his bobblehead day?
It was like a month and a half ago. maybe 2 months.
I'm going to see if I can.
Yeah, and I'm curious to see what his average has been since his bobblehead day, because the fans gave him all this attention, and he finally felt like he was part of Toronto.
Yeah.
And he started to swing the bat.
I don't buy that. He's been hitting really, really well since May 10th.
When's his bobblehead day?
Let's see. I'm looking it up right now. Giveaway days. Troy Tulowitzki bobblehead was July 3rd.
And what's his average since then? Can we check that out?
Sure. You want to count that game? We'll count that game.
Yeah, he lived
going into today, not counting today, hitting 311 with an 881 OPS.
Right?
Since May 10th, again, not counting today, because the quick math doesn't work that way.
Yeah.
Hitting 302 with a 911 OPS. So he's been a little bit worse since his bobblehead day than he was the 2 months before that.
All I wanted to say was, though, it's that the team didn't really understand, the fans didn't really understand how good of a player he was. Because in Colorado, he meant a big deal. And he came to Toronto, he's finally found his spot. The guy rocks. You rock. Appreciate the call.
All right, thank you. I think it just took him a little while to find his footing, to be honest with you. I don't think it had anything to do with being overshadowed or with the fans not understanding how good he was. I mean, if he'd hit in his first 3 months in Toronto like he hit in Colorado, the fans would have understood immediately how good he was. But he got out of it, and now he has been a phenomenal contributor to this team since the middle of May. I mean, think about that. A shortstop, a great defensive shortstop with an OPS over 900. That is an amazing, amazing weapon to have. 7-2 Blue Jays over the Angels. Blake is in Peterborough. Hey, Blake.
Hey, Mike. It's great to talk to you.
Thank you.
You've really become a fixture in this city. I've been listening to you for years and haven't called in for a number of years, but still listen to you regularly. And, yeah, really a pleasure. And, yeah, you're doing a great job.
I appreciate that a lot. Thank you.
Yeah, no, I mean it sincerely. So I want to mention also I've been a Jays fan since I was a young kid. What a treat it is to watch this team. Last year was such a thrill, and this year has been fun to watch. I have very little to complain about. I hope most people are enjoying what it's like to watch a first-place team day in, day out. It's really fun. One thing that is bugging me a bit is the possibility of losing, and this might contradict what I just said in a sense.
Okay.
Losing Eddie and Batista potentially for nothing.
That well, for a first-round pick each, which is not nothing.
Okay, that's fair. You know, so what would it be, like a 36 overall, something like that?
No. It would be, I mean, it depends who signs them, right? But it would be in the top 30.
Okay. I was under the impression that round occurred after the first.
That used to be. They don't do that anymore.
Gotcha, okay. All right, well, that is not nothing. And that kind of takes the winds out of my sail.
They got Marcus Stroman for a free agent who left. They've cashed in on a bunch of guys from free agents who have left.
All right, well, and that's valid, and really that was the essence of my argument, was that, you know, the whole idea when these guys came into town, and something that they have reminded us of a few times is how depleted the farm system is. And, you know, I was under the impression it was a bit of a later pick. You know, one first-rounder for each of them is something. And with the value of their performance this year, obviously that's the whole package. That is something relevant.
Hugely relevant.
Yes. It sounds like you totally disagree, because you could have certainly received more value for them in the trade market.
I don't think so, though.
Their performance.
Yeah, but I don't think you can. Well, first of all, Bautista was injured, right? Going into July 31st, anyway. But
I'm talking about last offseason, though.
Oh my God! Why would you do that?
Well,
you have a chance to win a World Series. Why would you trade your two of your three best hitters?
I
think a lot of people are missing out on the value of a championship or a playoff run. Like, let me throw you an example here. Let's say that Jose Bautista was a free agent after last year instead of this year, right? So in an effort to secure more value for him than the first round pick that you get if he just walks, you trade him in July. You don't get August and September that you got last year. You don't get the bat flip. You don't get the ALCS. Would that have been a just result?
No, like it's not that linear, but I get your point. I mean,
yeah, because that's value.
Well, it is value.
Mike, but it's also hindsight. Like, you know, I understand, no, we wouldn't have had the bat flip specifically, but we may have had a boatload of prospects. We would have repurposed the salary, hopefully. You know,
right, and you would have competed again in 2019.
Like, pardon me?
And you would have competed again in 2019. Why? I mean, we've been waiting long enough.
So that's where I disagree, I guess. I would say we still would have competed without the two of them, using that salary repurposed to free agents or whatever, however that salary is repurposed to gain value with those two positions, also having received all this value for them in trades.
Yeah, like I think you're missing.
No, that's fair.
Yeah, I think you're missing the larger point, which is that when you have players who are good enough to help you win a championship, you're sort of obliged to try to win that championship with them. Like, it's not like the Angels, let's say, and I hate to pick on the Angels, but you've got Mike Trout, and Mike Trout is on an island, right? He's the Albert Pujols is a Hall of Famer too. Mike Trout is the only elite level player in his prime on this team. So yeah, maybe it's a good idea for the Angels to move Trout and get this massive package of prospects, because they're going to suck for a couple of years anyway, right? But the Blue Jays going into 2015, they were coming off a season in which they'd spent, 6 weeks in first place. They were in a playoff spot at the beginning of August. They were very, very close to a playoff spot at the beginning of September. This was a good team with great players, and you sort of owe it to everybody to win with those great players, because even though you might be reducing the amount of value you're going to get back for them by not trading them, you have a chance to win a championship, and those don't come along very often.
No, they don't, and that is what it's all about. I guess the last thing, I'll let you go. I just want to, I don't know if you do, I believe you do think that they will compete next year without these two.
Sure hope so.
And so do I. And I guess if you believe that they do, or that they will rather, then there's no reason why you would think that they wouldn't have this year without them, plus the value they would have gotten for free in trade market, et cetera. But
yeah, I disagree with that,
with you,
right?
Too. Just given the other side.
No, but I don't think that's true. I think that, you know, you didn't know what Aaron Sanchez was. You didn't know what Marco Estrada was going to be able to repeat a year. You didn't know what Jay Happ was. You didn't know if Roberto Osuna was going to come back and be great. You didn't know what you had in Michael Saunders. A lot of people weren't sure what they had in Troy Tulowitzki. And all these things have come up really, really well. But Bautista and Encarnacion and Donaldson going into the season were the three things that you knew. You knew what you had and were pieces of what should be a championship. I think
valid. If you say they were more pivotal this year than they will be to next year's team, that's valid. So
Next year you've got Donaldson, you've got Tulowitzki, who's back being Tulowitzki.
We have
got Travis.
Yep. No, right? I agree. I see. I see what you're saying.
Yeah, and you got this pitching staff. All right, I appreciate the call. Yeah. Thank you. I really do appreciate it. It's a good little back and forth. But I do think a lot of people miss out on the now. It's starting to happen less, but on, you know, we want to have great prospects, make sure we get something for somebody before they leave. Well, you know, no one was worried about getting something for David Cone before he left. No one was worried about getting something for Dave Winfield before he was gone. We were worried about winning a championship because they were part of the puzzle to give you the pieces that you needed to win a championship. And that's what a healthy Jose Bautista and Edwin Encarnacion are. There's no universe in which the Blue Jays are better without Bautista and Encarnacion in 2016. And this is what it's about. It's about 2016. George in Hamilton. Hello, George.
What's going on, Mike?
How you doing?
All right. Before it slips my mind, the other night you asked, talked about a pitcher who said he had 9 pitches because he put a curveball to the other side of the plate or whatever. Do you remember that?
Yeah, Miguel Bautista.
Yeah. Well, actually, Cone had 6 pitches. He's the best ever. Cone was the best. But also,
Cone was pretty good. He was not the best ever, but he was pretty good.
What I was going to say was, it's not about star players, just kind of, but I noticed Josh Cole, even when Russ went down, for a couple games with that wonky knee there. I think Josh has made more contact and has had better eye this year. So for $865,000, I think he's doing quite fine.
Tolley's a fine backup. I think people get upset and frustrated at the numbers. Yeah, there aren't any good backup catchers in the major leagues.
But I think he's getting better. And also, I want to ask you, I don't know how old you are, Mike, but...
I think we lost you.
Well, I used to go see Barfield in the warm-ups. He would throw the ball. Have you ever seen anybody throw the ball from home plate and throw it over center field?
Jesse Barfield had. We didn't hear your entire comment.
Pardon
there
me?
Because your phone dropped on us. Oh, I think it just dropped again. Jesse Barfield had an incredible throwing arm. It was just such a beautiful thing to watch. And I think we kind of fall into the romance of that, of our youth and watching him back then and thinking that nobody could be as good. When Jose Bautista was at his best, his arm was as good as Barfield's. Mark Whitten was here. His arm might have actually been better than Jesse Barfield's. It was an absolute, it was a thing of beauty watching Jesse Barfield try to throw people out. Thank you for the call. Sorry, your phone cacked on us. We will take one more call before we go. Brian is in Cambridge. Hey, Brian.
Hey, how's it going, Mike?
All right, go ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted to get your thoughts on what you think a package would look like for to bring a Joey Votto to Toronto, given the state of the farm system right now.
The state of the farm system is not bad. Let's ignore forget that. This idea that that the Blue Jays have depleted their farm system with all the trades they made last year. The Jays still have more than enough down there. There's 8 to 12 prospects that every team would be very happy to have. And I don't think it would take an elite level package of prospects to get Joey Votto. Now, obviously, I could be wrong, but when you're taking on $100 million or $120 or $140, however much it's going to be in salary in a Joey Votto trade, that means you don't have to give up a huge prospect package. And I don't believe, I think the Blue Jays could get Joey Votto without trading any of their top five prospects in the minor leagues.
Would you think that would be something that could, given the time frame of a trade like that, would that be something that you think could get done in a 48-hour period?
Well, hopefully you're talking about it for a long time. It's not just like it's everybody knows he's going to go on waivers. Hopefully one would think that if the Cincinnati Reds were interested in engaging in discussions about Joey Votto, then they'd have been talking about it for weeks already.
All right, fair enough. That was an interesting thought. I was like, it's an interesting thought to have a big name player like that move in such a short amount of time. You'd think that you would want a fairly large return, but I understand where you're coming from with taking on the money. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, I appreciate the call. I think that we talk about laying groundwork and making contact and staying in touch and doing all of that stuff. One hopes that when you get to the point where you make that waiver claim, and I don't think the Blue Jays would claim Joey Votto on waivers anyway, but when you get to the point where you're claiming a guy on waivers, you've already talked to that team several times about what they're looking for, what it would take, what they're interested in, all that stuff. Thanks for the call. Thanks for all the calls. Apologies to those of you to whom we could not get. We'll do this again tomorrow. We're on at 7 as the Jays continue their series with the Angels. They won 7-2 today.